So showed up. I brought my laptop, put a presentation on there, and we just hooked it up. So I wanted to make sure everything was working fine. Though in it, there's always something. I left all my papers sitting on the table. Luckily, though, I was able to transfer. I had notes on here to my tablet, my iPad, so I'm going to read off of there. Initially, when I know we were talking, Steve, Greg, and I, about doing our class book, and I know our class is out here, and I was going to do, we just started one of the chapters. I wanted to do that. There were two things I was looking at doing when I was talking to Gary when he asked me to do this tonight. I told Steve, we'll go ahead and do the chapter in the book again. And I've used that a couple of times. Actually, the last time I used part of it. But really good, great book, a lot of information, a lot of stuff to discuss. Well, then I went back to the second thing, and this came about from a discussion I had, well, a couple of times, I should say, with a coworker and another friend. And I wanted to talk. To me, it's great timing. We're close to this. But talk a little bit about Christmas in here. And we're not going to sing anything or like that, but I want to talk a little bit. There's some history involved in here. And I was talking to Steve before we started. I was looking up some information because, again, in that paperwork, there's some Roman names that I left out. And obviously Wikipedia is not our go-to that we want to use, but it was one of the things that I used in there. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this. And I thought the class period would be a great time because we can have some discussion in there as well. So normally I'm down there, and I like being down there to be able to move, but since I plugged in the cable, I'm at the maximum length in there as well. So some of the questions that come about when we talk about Christmas and some things we need to consider as well. So we can ask the question, should I celebrate Christmas? Can I celebrate it as the birthday of Jesus? What does the Bible say about Christmas? And what are Christians' views on there? Now, the thing with this is you may not agree with everything. And a lot of this can be a personal decision. I know Don's talked about some things before, but I think it's something that we should talk about, especially this time of year in when we're talking with someone, again, a coworker, a friend. Let me ask this. Actually, I thought about this earlier. By raise of hand, who has a family member, a friend, a coworker, a male man, a male woman, whoever it may be that attends services on Christmas Day to celebrate Christmas? I'd say most everybody. We know somebody that does that, right? So this is something that can affect each and every one of us. So I want to talk a little bit and look at some of the things here that, and I got to look, sorry. There we go. So we talk about the birth of Christ. When was Jesus born? What was the date of his birth? And some of the things that come up when we talk about that is it's December 25th, right, of year zero. What records do we have in there? We'll look at some of these things as well. But first, when we ask when he was born, in December 25th, there's a lot of information out there, and what I found in even doing this study was there's so much there of how we arrive at these dates, how we get to this idea of December 25th and where it comes from. And then even the idea of, when we talk about BC and AD and year zero, that comes up quite a bit as well. What records do we also have? Matthew and Luke, we know, record biblical accounts of the birth of Christ in there. But as we'll look in just a few minutes, there's no date involved with there. There's no month. There's no day. And actually, you can make a strong argument that it's not even near winter as well. So the idea of the birth of Christ, scholars believe mostly that it was somewhere between 7 and 4 BC. And again, when I had first seen this, I was thinking, well, this is completely inaccurate now because you can't have, when BC actually stands for before Christ, you cannot say that, well, it has to be 7 or 4. And that's where that year zero comes into play and in effect. But by accounts, too, he was born during the time of King Herod. And we have that from Scripture in Matthew chapter 2 in here as well. And we'll look at that in just a minute as well. Josephus, Flavius Josephus even writes about his death in Antiquities. So he talks, I'm mixing myself up in here. Born during the time of King Herod, Josephus talks about Herod's death. And how we come to this conclusion of this date was there's a lunar eclipse in 4 BC, and he writes that Herod reigned for 37 years from the time of his appointment in 40 BC, as well as 34 years from the conquest of Jerusalem in 37. And one of the things I said earlier that I was looking up was the fact that there is a person named Dionysus, and there's a last name too I can't remember. I don't have the notes for there as well. But he was looking up the calendars and how things aligned. And there was a Roman emperor who at the time, there's a great history behind that, he kind of changed some dates and times in there. And maybe someone can remember it because I cannot remember his name at all. But it was one of the worst as far as persecution of Christians in the entire Roman Empire. And he actually split the Roman Empire in two and kind of came up with that tetrarchy as well. But I apologize because I had these notes in there. But there's some great history behind it. And it's a little even confusing at times what happened. There's an assassination in there. There's a lot of stuff. But long story, Dionysus then changed some of that time in that calendar because of the persecution that was going on even towards the Christians. He didn't like the idea of this being there, but he used some math. That's why you guys always need to study math and be well-versed in it as well, and looking at some of these things also. Now, again, I go back to, we don't know the month this happened. We don't know the day, specific day this took place, but what we do know is the kind of somewhere around the time of when it may have happened. So again, we talk about this time frame here. Another Herod, now this is Herod, King Herod's son, Herod Antipas, he ordered the execution of John the Baptist. And we see this in Mark chapter 6. And really what I'm doing, I'm putting some of these numbers out there just to show you how this we come to the conclusion of this date. So he was kind of supporting the role in Jesus' trial with Pilate. Actually, in Luke 23, he talks about them not being so friendly or enemies, but then this day they became friends in there. And there are actually coins that exist that reference his rule, placing its latest beginning at 4 BC. So it's a little confusing, but when looking up this idea of Christ's birth, the dates, where everyone gets December 25th from, and we'll talk about that a little more later, there's a lot of history and a lot of really good information on how they come to this conclusion, how they come. And one of the interesting facts that I really enjoy when you study some of these things is the fact that there are archaeological pieces, there's writings that exist that show us these things that coincide with what the scriptures say. So a lot of times we'll run into people and they'll say, well, you know, the Bible isn't scientific. The Bible doesn't show the same as history, where we can see actually it coincides directly with history. It's in there. So when we talk to someone, these are how we come to the conclusion on some of these things. So again, we don't know the month and the day of his birth, but what we do know, and again from the accounts that we have as well in Matthew and again in Luke, is that there were shepherds were in the field with their sheep. And it says in Luke 2 and verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And this would then suggest that time of year would either be spring or summer, and not in the winter that we're so accustomed to when someone talks about the idea of Christmas today. And as we go throughout, please raise your hand if you have anything to add, if you have any questions. But we're going to talk in just a few minutes, too, about the idea of celebrating. So we're just looking at kind of where these ideas come from as well. So we always look, or we want to look at, you know, where the origin came from as well. And this was pretty neat, this commentary, the Clark commentary by Adam Clark. He says, it states it correctly that the Bible writers, and this is what he states, do not give the birth date of Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible, again, do we find this date listed. He continues as follows, learned and pious men have trifled egregiously on this subject, making that of importance which the Holy Spirit, by his silence, has plainly informed them is of none. And again, that's in his commentary itself. So nowhere in the Bible do we find this day or this date. But we have so many people in so many denominations making this as a holy day, putting this day aside as better than others as well. And when we talk about the history of where this comes from, the earliest evidence being marked as December 25th is a sentence in what's called the chronograph of 354. And it says it's consistent with the assertion that the date was formally set by Pope Julius I, the Bishop of Rome, somewhere between 337 to 352. And liturgical historians generally agree that this part of the text was written in Rome in A.D. 336. So several hundred years later, we see this idea of where this date comes from. And what was going on during this time for this to kind of happen? Anyone have any clue, any ideas? What was going on with the church, maybe? I say the church, but then things were kind of morphing in. Well, we see this idea, it's making departures from the New Testament pattern in organization, in doctrine, in worship, and this observance of special days really kind of took hold and became important. And this is why, when we go back, when we talk about that we need to stick to what the Scriptures say, when we say we need to make sure that we're doing what the Bible tells us to do, we're giving the example that the Bible tells us. Because what's going to happen, likewise, if we start doing something different, if we start making up our own rules, we start doing our own ways, where will we be then in the future as well? So the church is making departures from there. And again, they're talking about special days, having this observance of things, and there are different things that come about from this as well. So this idea of Epiphany, Easter, Christmas, Roman Saturnalia, and then the Mithraic Feast of the Sun God, which happens to coincide with December 25th. Also has to do with the winter solstice, where the days will start to get longer in there. And the Roman Saturnalia, if I'm saying this even correctly, has to do with the sun god and other things that they were pursuing after there, basically pagan feasts. And again, this idea of December 25th, when I was looking up some of these things, that coincided directly with that same date. So we see this idea of these things kind of coming together. They're wanting to put these together to, I guess, make it all together in one big, what's the word? I've just got completely lost. Festival, celebration in there as well. Now, there was opposition, though, to the practice. Many of the churches did oppose what was going on because, again, it wasn't what was set aside. It wasn't something that was prescribed. And it didn't originate with the authority of God. So that's the one thing we need to understand, we need to make important, that it didn't originate with God's authority. There's nowhere in the Scripture that we see. So, again, the commentary, Clark's commentary earlier said, it's not mentioned. Why do we make such an importance of it if it's not mentioned? So, it's not by the authority of God, Christ, or the apostles. Nowhere is it mentioned, and he never chose for that to be a remembrance. So we can, again, says we can safely conclude that December 25th was set by man and not by God. But again, we see a huge importance on it as well. So we talk about the traditions that come about from this idea of Christmas. We see these traditions that, and we're all aware of them, we all know of them. But let's look at some of them real quick, and again, we'll get to some more points here. So this idea of the Christmas tree, origins were in Germany, and it replaced the sacrifices to the Norse god of Odin, and it was a sacred oak, and they replaced it with a fir tree. And actually, if I remember the story, I didn't have it all written down here, there was an Englishman who decided to start doing this, and they adorned it in tribute to Christ, and that began around the 8th century as well. What about Santa Claus? Again, 4th century bishop Nicholas, where you get the name of St. Nicholas in Asia Minor, and said they believed to bring gifts to children on this feast day, December 6th. It was incorporated into the Christmas celebration. The idea that we have today of Santa Claus was nothing that happened back then, but the 19th century in New York City as well. Christmas lights, this goes back to that winter solstice festival we were talking about earlier, and what they would do is they would light bonfires. Torches were lit throughout the cities as well. And this is where this idea of lights came to be as well. What about when we talk about the Christmas story and we talk the idea of everyone seeing, which is great, everyone's talking or singing about peace. Was Bethlehem during this time of the birth of Christ peaceful? Place of peace? Does anyone remember what was going on during this time as well? There was attacks, yeah. What else? Yeah, someone else said the census. Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot going on. And I have this note in here too, but it wasn't really a time of peace and quiet so much. There was a lot going on. Again, that's what the idea of all was calm, all was bright. Can't even think of the song again, the name of it too. But the census, it would have been a bustling town, very noisy, a lot going on during this as well. And again, there's so much that we kind of incorporate in our mind, or the world incorporates, I should say, with this, but really understanding what's happening as well. So not as much. And the other thing was, we don't know how many magi, depending on your translation, the magi or the wise men, came to see Jesus. We don't know their names. Greg and I talked about this, I remember last year, because again, I got into a conversation with someone about this very idea. So how many wise men were there? Yeah. We don't know. It doesn't tell. It talks about three gifts, but it doesn't specifically state them or a name. And the other thing is, if you see the very bottom of this as well, if we actually look at the scriptures, look in there, that in Luke chapter 2, it says they didn't come to a manger, but to a house. So again, this idea of tradition, and maybe that doesn't seem like such a big deal. Were there three wise men? Were there 30? Maybe it doesn't seem like a big deal, but when we look at specifics that we have in the scripture, in God's word, we can see. And I bring a lot of this up too, not because I don't know the history of Christmas. Is this really that important? When we're talking to somebody about this, especially this time of year, that we at least have a background. We have a good idea. We have somewhat of an understanding in there. And again, there is a lot of information on how some of these traditions even came about. But I've always, again, we were talking last year about this. I had a good conversation. It was just interesting when you ask somebody, and it's a can be an honest misunderstanding, but how many wise men were there? When we look at the scripture, we don't know the exact number, nor do we know their names. And again, that the scriptures say in Luke chapter 2 that they arrived at a house in there also. So again, we look at these traditions, we look at everything that happens with this and where it was. So if we look at, look with me in Hebrews chapter 9, I have it up here on the screen though as well. And all of these traditions that came about, well, what does the word even mean in of itself? The Bible, though, and again, so the meaning of Christmas, the name is derived from the medieval Christus Massae, or Mass of Christ, and it was shortened to Christmas. Catholics teach that the sacrifice of the Mass is identical to that of the cross, both having the same victim and the same high priest, Jesus Christ. The only difference consists in the manner of the oblation. Christ was offered up on the cross in a bloody manner, and in the Mass, he is offered up in an unbloody manner. Now, the Bible, though, as we're going to look here in Hebrews chapter 9, teaches that Christ was offered only once for all. So again, Hebrews chapter 9, beginning verse 24, for Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had suffered repeatedly since the foundation, of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So we can see again in the error of this very idea that, again, Christ was offered up only once for for each and every one, for all as well. Again, according to the Hebrew writer as well. And again, it's important to look at some of this history, some of these traditions, to understand where it comes from. I have to say, even before I looked at some of these ideas, even with the tree and everything else, I did not know that. A couple of the other things I did somewhat know before, but I just think it's nice to have a background of it when maybe you're talking with someone. Maybe someone confronts you. How many times have we, and I'm kind of jumping into my next section here, so I'll do that as well. How many times has someone asked you about what you're doing for your Christmas service? And what happens when you tell them, well, we don't have a Christmas service? What's their reaction to you? Right. You're evil, right? You're an antichrist. You're evil. Who do you think you are? There's kind of this attitude toward you as well. And it's one of those things where, again, when you kind of, then you need to explain, you need to talk, which goes back to another point. And now let me back. I'm going to hold that because I'm going to jump way ahead of myself if I do that as well. So the question I have, yeah, if we can read that, should the church remember Christ at Christmas? Now, for this year, it's going to be a bit of a trick question. But should the church formally, I guess, like I'm saying here, remember Christ at Christmas? No, there's nothing in the scripture, again, we looked at earlier. There's nowhere we can find that we are prescribed, that we are commanded to do upon a Christmas or anything with his birth. Now, I said it's somewhat of a trick question because Wednesday evening on December 25th, we will be meeting here. We'll be talking, likely, about Christ in there. And we will remember him on that day, just as we will on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, from that standpoint. But to answer the question, no. Again, we looked at earlier that nowhere in the Bible did God ever authorize the church to celebrate this event or give any type of commands or regulation governing anything for us to do. So again, and just as you said, Autumn, too, it's like we're looked at as evil, as the Antichrist, as just sinful then at that point when we tell someone that we are not. Now, again, this year we will be here in meeting on Wednesday evening, which is, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from tonight as well? But no, not for that specific reason. And we should not allow the traditions of men ever, and it's not just for this, not for Christmas, but to ever dictate what we do. We don't have, again, another edict. We don't have any written rules specifically here other than what the Scripture has for us. So we should not be then joining in any type of religious celebration of Christmas as well. So then the question is, can an individual Christian observe Christmas as, let's say, a national holiday? Yes. Again, the giving of gifts then, Santa Claus, etc., are not connected with the birth of Christ. Now, you may on an individual basis not be comfortable with, or you may do things even differently as well. From a religious standpoint, from a church, from a command from God, from the church standpoint, we will not be doing that as I just showed earlier. But there are other things that you may do, let's say a national holiday, to celebrate. Now, some Christians refrain from anything in there, and that is fine as well. But what we have to understand is when we look at certain things that are going on in the world today, and again, you just look into some meanings behind words, and I guess this comes about from the fact of, and I'm not telling you you're wrong, please don't take it that way. You ever gone to a restaurant and maybe there's a bar in that restaurant? Do you feel comfortable, uncomfortable? Does it matter? I don't know if you can go to many restaurants in this world today without one being in there. You may not be comfortable with that. And again, I'm not saying you should not be sitting at the bar. Let me make sure I'm being clear with that as well. But I know some who do not like to go to places if there is one in there. They do not like to associate with certain things. But there are some things we need to kind of look at, because it's almost impossible at times to even go out into the world today, Tim. The word holiday actually is derived from holy day. The months of the year are named after certain pagan gods, who January honors Janus, the Greek god who could see both the past and future at the same time. The days of the week even have kind of some pagan origin to them. Saturday for Saturn, Sunday, the sun god, Monday, the moon god, Friday, Frigg, the god of married love, and etc. So am I honoring these false gods if I happen to say Monday, moon god? No, absolutely not. And that's kind of the point where I'm kind of moving towards here in just a moment, that these things may have been derived from a certain word or position or person, a false god in this sense. But no, just because I use that word, this is just one example, and I'm sure you can think of others as well, that I'm not honoring a false god in that sense. The Gregorian calendar is used every day, and it was developed and revised by Pope Gregory as well. Now, most of us probably use a calendar. I have to write things down on a calendar because I will forget probably the next day if someone were to tell me something. Am I going to throw my calendar away? No, absolutely not. I don't honor Pope Gregory in any way by using that calendar also. So again, it's one of those things, you know, and there are other examples too. Again, looking back, Halloween is actually Hallowed Eve. It comes from a Catholic origin. Valentine's Day became as a celebration of Saint Valentine. Everyone's heard of Corpus Christi. That's a Catholic holiday as well as a city in Texas. And it actually means the body of Christ. Saint Augustine, beautiful city from what I hear in Florida as well. So we don't dispute those things or quarrel over things as well. There are things right in themselves that can become wrong, though, if I attach any type of religious significance to it, though. So I have to be careful. And that can happen with anything. Washing of hands, gathering to eat with others, maybe how we observe national holidays, 4th of July, Memorial, anything can be if we attach some type of religious significance to it as well. But what we need to look at, too, let's look at a few verses here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and actually, thought I had up higher than there. Beginning in verse 4 here, it says, therefore, and he talks earlier in the first four verses here, likewise of eating of meats and the foods, but therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there be many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, whom are all things for, and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not commend us to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. And then if we go a couple chapters over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning of verse 23, and this is where I really need the paper to see more in here, so I'm trying to read from the screen. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that which I give thanks? So this idea of eating food, of eating meats, of eating something, you know, and again, 1 Corinthians 8, what's he telling us about idols here? What's that, sorry? They're not real.
Yeah.
They don't exist. They're not real. Are we putting them real then in our hearts, in our minds, in that sense? And again, I like going back to this because an idol has no real existence. Absolutely. They're not real. They're not there. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, again, he tells us, though, just eat. Eat it without the sake of conscience. But he says, if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice. Now, every time, it was probably a little bit later, when I've read this now, I kind of hear this, the tone in this person's voice when they're saying this. This has been offered in sacrifice. So what is he saying there, to go ahead and eat it then? No, and why not? Why not eat it then? What's the reason in this case? Absolutely. We don't want to cause. And that's where it starts off up in verse 23 of all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. This shows us that we have to be thinkers. I always tell my boys, we're running out of thinkers in our world today. We have to understand. We have to rightly divide the word. We have to know what is going on and realize what is happening. And this is exactly, again, one of these examples that it may be lawful to do it, but again, is it going to be helpful? Is it going to build someone up? Or are we going to maybe hurt someone then in that process also? The idea of circumcision. Again, I'm going to move through some of this. If someone has something, don't hesitate raising your hand, please. For in Galatians 6, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And then in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters as well. Paul circumcised Timothy without giving any religious significance to the act. But then he didn't for Titus because it would have implied some there as well. So the point is that it's possible to preserve a custom that began with religious significance in a non-religious manner as well. And again, when we talk, so we go back to that question, can you be observed as individual? Probably needed some water beforehand. Can an individual Christian then observe Christmas? I would say yes, you can observe the traditions. Again, giving gifts, sending, receiving cards, you decorating your tree, whatever it may be, putting lights up on the house without placing religious significance on these actions or honoring any type of false religion in there. But remember, here we are not going to have any special services. We're not going to have anything in the assembly in observance to there as well. Now, when I talk about this too, there was a brother one time, this was years ago, and I was in a class, and we were talking about this idea. And is there a chance that on a Sunday morning service we would get maybe visitors in from the community, from outside, from the public, and maybe they don't know? So one of the things he brought up is, well, sometimes it causes a spark. It makes someone start to think. And maybe someone is from the neighborhood and they have no idea where to go, where to turn. And at least draws someone to find out, which is why I go back to the reason of knowing the history of let's say, Christmas. Knowing what the Bible says and maybe specifically what the Bible doesn't say, that we can at least talk to somebody. And instead of them, again, coming in a bad attitude with us because we say, well, we don't do anything special that day. We can show them, not just tell them, but show them why we don't do this as well. And finally, Romans 14, verses 4 and 5. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than the other, while another esteems all days are alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And as far as, that's all I have for my slides, and almost out of time, but that we need to be aware, and what I wanted to present, and I probably had too much information in there to present, but to understand the history of this idea of Christmas, how it came about, but more importantly, where we can show someone that, again, this is why we do this, not, and this is maybe why we don't do that as well. We're not going to have anything special in here. There's not going to be any special observance. Many times, many denominations, what do they do during this time of year? They have plays. They have shows. They're trying to bring people in that way as well. But you have to make up then in your own mind, you know, if you observe certain things that, again, you lawfully can or cannot. But again, this is could be on an individual basis and not to judge one another as well. Any comments, any questions? Autumn. And again, individually, we all have to look at ourselves and look at what we're doing. I don't have a problem saying I celebrate this time of year as a national, let's say, holiday, families getting together, decorating. But the other thing, and you said at the beginning here, there's opportunity, though, at times, too, that sometimes we don't realize that comes to us. And that's why I said even talking with someone. I've had great conversations even where I work with people about even this subject and some other things as well. And we don't want to miss those opportunities. That's why, and I won't name him, but the brother, when he said, we can't think of it as a negative, look at the positives that it's maybe bringing somebody here that would maybe wouldn't have thought of to do that previously. And then do we take the opportunity to, let's in that case, greet them, talk to them. Hey, great to see you. Where are you from? Why are you here? They may say, well, I was hoping for a Christmas play or a service on there as well. But no, we can still use that time and use that opportunity to, again, reach out and talk to someone there as well. I know I had a lot of stuff, a lot of information. I didn't even get through all of that as well. But, again, I want to look at some of the background, the history of there, of the idea of Christmas. And then, again, things that we can use to talk to others about it as well. So thank you for your time tonight.